Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Why is that somehow a joke perpetrated on me? I don't understand.
I know. It wasn't.
Everyone's like, this is going to get Brent if you're quiet.
I think you're internalizing.
Brent. Yeah. I might have.
We weren't staring at you.
Like it was after me.
It's because you don't want to speak first.
I'll do that.
No, you went into the mic and then backed away from the mic. Once you realized slowly what was happening, like,
whoa. You started to say
why
something.
Why is the music fading out?
Backed away.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to fuck up your thing, really. It was more that. Like you're trying to keep silent. I didn't want to.
No, you played into it just perfect.
All right, cool. Good. So
what?
So you really want to do this?
Yeah.
Right away?
Oh, God.
El Yucateco Hot Sauce bought us a gift, and we were kind of assholes, so we're going to drink.
Second chance?
Yeah.
Or is it second chance?
We got to see if it was really worthy of a fucking hoo-ah of the fucking great.
Okay, wait.
It's not a hoo-ah. It's not the Marines.
If we're drinking this, let's drink the other thing first so that our glasses aren't tainted by the other stuff.
All right. Whatever order you want to do it. So... Yep. The other thing that we have is actually not a whiskey. It's apparently a Dominican rum.
Brugal? Is that what it is?
Man, he's going to hate us. Añejo is, I think, how you say that.
Well, that's the type it is. It's not the brand.
Brugal.
Not,
yeah. We're probably fucking that up, I'm sure. But Will Perez gave this to us. So it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
We should probably
it's got fishnet stockings on.
It does have fishnet stockings.
It's very sexy.
It's very nautical.
So break it out. All right, so let's see.
Twisty cap, but it's rum, so can't judge.
Yeah, most rum. Right, a lot of rum has twisty caps. It's all right.
There you go.
Okay, pass the old bottle around there.
Mm-hmm. Where's this from, Will?
Will Perez, yes.
Or won't Perez, that's the question.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
That's good.
We should start a rum wall.
Damn, that's very good.
Yeah.
That's legit.
I feel like that might be expensive. That's what it tastes like.
Come on.
Brugal Superior
it's rum. Oh, that's rum. That's good. I don't think rum has corks ever.
That's
good. Sure, pirate. That's really good. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a
maybe
gripping.
Maybe we should do a rum wall.
It's like a gripping handle.
He answered the question of Will Perez or won't Perez.
Hey, Brad, you want to build another wall?
I don't care. I'll build all kinds of walls.
That's what I'm saying,
right across Mexico. Up over on Canada.
Let's go to IKEA, man. Let's go get some shelves and build a wall.
Build a motherfucking wall. I'll be the first one there shoveling.
Where's it going to go, though?
We have tons of wall.
We left the doors open. That's really bothering
me. This is like fucking Donald Trump's favorite spot in here. We got walls
right,
everywhere.
Walls everywhere. He'd like it.
You get a wall.
So I have to admit, I did an El Yucateco experiment. Are we drinking that shit first?
Well, no, go ahead. Tell your story.
No, I'll tell your story.
We'll pretend this isn't happening.
You already have it in your glass. Give it to me. Do you have it, Dave?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Tell your story.
My oldest sister, Lisa, growing up, she made like the... Let's do this first. I'm not trying to tell my story until we've gotten past cold cock.
So El Yucateco bought us some stuff called cold cock. And the last time we drank it, Brad sounded like he was fucking choking on a cat that had a party with Al Pacino. And so I feel like, and no, I said it tasted called, like it's hippie called a piss.
Gag.
Yeah,
I said it tastes like hippie man, piss. I remember
isn't
that.
It owned by like some rock star?
Yeah. Dang, twinsies.
All right.
More. Otherwise, it's just going to sit there.
Oh, oof. God.
God.
Oh. Oh, it's fucking awful. I don't remember it. Oh, that's weird.
Man.
Oh, man. Fuck you, Oyukiteko.
Oof. What is that? It tastes like...
It does say
know.
American herbal flavored.
It's the weirdest taste. No one should buy that, though. How are they still in business?
I don't know.
You know why? Because it's everybody's first try. They don't buy that shit again. I bet they're repeat
people,
customers.
No, people buy Fireball. People buy that shit. People buy drinking.
Oof. Ugh, give me some more Will. Give me the Will Perez real quick. I need that. Oh, yeah. Gotta fix that.
Man. Okay, so my El Yucateco adventure for the week. My oldest sister, Lisa, growing up, when we grew up in Michigan, she would make these really good tacos. And by really good, I mean she like fried the tortillas herself, which no one in Michigan did because we're nowhere near Mexico. And that was like unheard of. Mm-hmm. But she made delicious tacos. And she made taco sauce, which most people I know who try it aren't a fan of it, but her taco sauce was Italian dressing.
Okay.
And she would just put a shit ton of Louisiana hot sauce in it. And we grew up eating it.
Right.
And to me, it's delicious. Like it always had since, like it's like a childhood favorite of mine. And so I made my own Italian dressing this week and I made it. Because the thing is, she used Louisiana hot sauce because it had extra vinegar, so it added an extra tang to it. So I made it with apple cider vinegar, so it already had the extra tang to it.
I don't know
about
that, though.
But then because it just makes it a little tangier, and then I did it with El Yucateco instead of Louisiana hot sauce, and it was just fucking home run.
Which status. El Yucateco?
I used the habanero.
The red habanero. Red.
Yeah. You can't just say habanero. There's five.
The red. The basic red. So if you're adventurous and you want to try it on a taco – Italian dressing, it's got to like bleed red. It's got to be really spicy and it's got this kick to it and like a tang to it. And that's what I grew up
eating. I can see if you okay. The apple cider vinegar throws me off a little bit. I used to do experimental stuff when I had the taco shop and I would put like
two dudes at the same time.
I would two dudes at the same time. Both
that's
of
not
them
experimental for him though.
Not at this
that's
point.
Just a Friday night.
Yeah. At this point, Friday, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday when you guys leave.
Yeah.
Sometimes you stay.
Two
dudes at the same time.
That's right.
But no, we did.
I'm waiting for our first like fanfic.
Gay experience.
Yeah, our first fan fiction. our first like Kirk Spock fanfic that happens.
Oh man,
it's bound to occur.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Dang it.
You can't piece that together.
Fan what?
Fan fiction.
I don't know what that is. Like somebody writes a fake story about us.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
and you were talking about two guys, and I mentioned Kirk Spock.
I'll just write the real account if you guys want.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, Dave was on bottom.
Go ahead.
Me and Brad took turns. we need to think.
Anyways, I don't remember what I was saying.
We got a present from PBR Man.
And I know you were talking about the tacos.
Yeah,
but I realized it would require saying the brand of another sauce, and I don't dare.
Okay, don't.
Yeah. It was a style of Asian sauce that had a rooster on it, and I mixed it with oil and vinegar sauce on top of a taco.
Oh, horchaca.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's horchata that you're mixing up.
Is that what it is?
No.
What's no, that's the disgusting rice milk.
Oh, sirkaka. There you go.
Yeah, sirkaka. You remember him.
I remember him.
He was a knight of the round table.
He was knighted in 1914. That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, we got a present from PBR Man, and this can't be hidden, but Dave hasn't seen inside that box, and there are some presents that are PBR
Man. Of course.
Man, we've talked about him before. If you don't
Pabst
know,
Blue Ribbon.
He came all the way to the studio from across the country, and he came wearing a cape and a fucking hat. I mean, like in character for PBR
Man.
He lives it.
Yeah, he looked like a NASCAR driver without the suit.
Yes.
Like without the race suit. Like he was there.
You can follow him on Facebook, actually. Yeah. Check him out. Look up PBR Man.
He is the unofficial spokesman for PBR for sure.
He's their mascot. Yeah. They just don't know yet.
They don't know, and neither do the frat boys.
Yeah, they don't pay him.
Yeah.
To my knowledge. He's unofficial, yeah.
Okay, so he sent us...
Piece pack. That together, Spock fucking
he sent
whatever.
Us a couple of sticker packs. He sent us a golf tee set. These are all PBR.
PBR themed. Golf tees, yeah.
PBR lip balm. I hope it's PBR flavored.
I'm curious about that. You going to try it, Dave?
No,
because it's got to be vegan or something.
Pabst Blue Ribbon black balloons and two PBR bandanas.
That's for me and you because Brent's tier one. So
yeah, it just smells like
yeah, blue.
Oh, no, there are three.
Are there three?
Two sets of one are in this one and one set of one are in the other one.
There we go.
Oh, you're going to get gangster, Brent.
I will. I'll do it right now.
I'm going to tie it on my bad knee like Punky Brewster. Dave's going to wear it. I'm taking a picture if that happens. This chapstick just smells like regular chapstick for the record. Yeah, we can't share chapstick, so I mean.
That's a good size. It's a nice quality, good size. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sick.
Phil, that's a good quality.
I wonder, PBR, are we allowed to give away those golf tees? What are we going to do with those golf tees, though?
I'm not going
to
stay. I golf.
Oh, you?
I have golf.
It looked like a giant pack of matches, actually.
It did. Weird. Yeah, it'd be cool if it was giant matches.
Dave's about to get all Aunt Jemima right now. He's going to do it.
Aunt Jemima. Or Tupac.
Aunt
you should do the Tupac.
Oh, just
all it says Pabst right in the front, too. Look at that.
You did that good. You've done that before, sir.
Yeah, you have.
And we're drinking rum? Fucking you pirate,
like a,
dude.
Yeah, you're like a Pabst pirate. Yeah.
It's happening.
You look like a yellow pirate.
My phone's broken. Let me see.
High yellow pirate. That blue really makes you yellow. You're wearing a lot of blue today. Fucking gangster.
I broke the.
This is when I go to the gym, I wear this because my bald head sweats in my eye.
Yeah. When you eat hot stuff, it sweats too. Like this dick. I had to go to seventh.
I was trying to pose for the picture, and then that really threw me off.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, PBR Man. You know what just occurred to me? I don't know PBR Man's real name.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Jerry, the race car driver.
I mean, if you asked Bruce Wayne what his name was, he would say Batman, not Bruce Wayne.
True.
Because
But I don't even know the other one, though.
Bruce Wayne is the artificial identity. Mm. Batman is the true self.
That's true.
PBR Man is his true self. Whatever his old name was does not matter.
I've actually never met
his government name. Yeah. Government name doesn't matter.
Yeah. I've not met him in a tuxedo, so I don't know. True. I've only met PBR Man. Yep. Yeah.
That's very true.
I don't think he wears a tuxedo in his off time, though.
So speaking of PBR Man, Adolf topic Hitler. Today, Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
Yes.
The original PBR Man.
And by the way, the last story that I read about Hitler was a story about a guy in the South who just recently changed his last name to Hitler because he's a white supremacist with a big swastika on his neck. And his first name is like a girl's name. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't remember what it was. It started with an I. But it was like full on like female name. And he didn't change his first name. He just changed his last name. And he named his son Adolf. So now his son is legally Adolf Hitler. Well, of course.
I mean, like you do.
And he's got
the Hitler, you do in your Aryan brotherhood.
He's got the Hitler mustache.
Okay.
He's got a sweet set of meth teeth.
Uh-huh. So he's like an Elvis impersonator, but Hitler impersonator?
And there's a photo of him in his car, which looks like maybe a fucking... like a 96 Civic or something that's like black and like sun faded. You can still see like the clear coat starting to.
No, it's got
to
be an American vehicle.
And he's got.
I want it to be a Mercury. How is it a fucking Honda?
I don't know. It's just it's a generic ass. I couldn't see the brand. I have idea.
It was a Mercury.
It was an Isuzu.
But like the, you know, like if you go to Home Depot and you buy like the white generic letters to like put your name on your mailbox or something, it says with those Führer. Right under his window where
is it
he
spelled
drives.
Right?
Ooh.
It's spelled right.
Oh, okay.
I'll give him credit for that.
How do you spell Führer? F-U-R-E-R-E-R.
Yep.
With an H in there somewhere.
With an H in there at the end.
But anyway, he's a redneck piece of shit.
Well, hey, we didn't catch that, Dave. He said he's a cool dude.
He could be a real nice guy, man.
Yeah.
Just because he changed his name and put some stickers on his window? He's an asshole. He's trying to make up for his teeth, man.
Look at my car, not my teeth.
He looks like a total skinny meth head with a fucking Hitler mustache, and it does. And he's blonde, so the Hitler mustache.
Did he say or do anything bad other than the name change?
He's a redneck piece of shit.
He's just different than you?
Well, you don't
like
redneck?
That sounds like racist shit.
No, he's not a redneck piece of shit. He's a like racist.
A black guy just saying he don't like redneck piece of shit.
Yeah,
that sounds like racist.
This is racism.
He didn't do anything to you.
You're worse than the meth head, Dave.
He didn't do anything to you, right?
He's a piece of shit.
That is some River Niger happening right now, man. Yeah.
River Niger. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
If you've got a swastika tattoo on your neck, Führer on your car, and change your last name to Hitler, you're a piece of shit.
Why?
Maybe.
Hitler was a good guy. He just was in the wrong time at the wrong place.
Oh, I see.
He did some great things.
Yeah, he did do some great
terrible,
things.
Terrible, but great.
He did terribly one great thing. Yes.
I'm going to say.
I will say, like, before we talk about any of his bad stuff, I do
like
get
the fact
good
that he burned
the
books.
Way.
I mean, I'm
as
just
did Stalin. Like, it all starts out great because you take a hold of a society that's in a depression or in need, and then you become the hero. And then when you get all the shit going on, you take over and start
I'll
killing
say
people.
Two, I'll say two good things about him before we start.
Okay.
One thing was he started
well dressed.
Three things.
Yeah.
Very fucking well dressed.
Created the stormtroopers.
It wasn't just that he was well dressed, I mean, like all of his people. Like, you can't look at any other army in history and be as impressed by the fashion choices as you
they were
are
dapper
the
as fuck.
And say what you will, like, impressive, dude. The formations when they're standing there, like the shock and awe fucking uniformity.
When they were marching, how did nobody kick the other guy in the ass? That's what I want to know.
Practice.
Synchronicity, man.
Here's the two original things. One is he had a very aggressive and effective anti-smoking campaign.
Yes.
Because he was worried about the health of his people.
Good. And he protected wildlife like that.
That's
well.
He did protect wildlife.
That's a good thing. And he was a vegetarian. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. Oh,
pussy. Well, you know.
He ate people. They don't count, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll actually support that and say he is a pussy because he didn't have the balls to be a vegan.
That's true.
Why? He had dairy?
Yeah.
Oh.
And eggs.
Mm. He was lacto-ovo vegetarian?
Huevos.
Yeah. So anyway, Adolf Hitler, born April 20th, 1889 in Austria.
Oh, you know what's crazy?
What's that?
I was watching
born
a documentary.
Born on 420, for the record, 420.
Born on 420. Shot himself on my birthday.
Oh, nice.
April 30th, spoiler 1945. Alert. Nice.
Allegedly shot himself.
Which is still pretty cool.
That's a good one.
He allegedly moved to South America on
that's
your birthday.
That's a good one. Mm. So he did, though, get married the day before your birthday.
The 29th?
Yes.
And the day after my daughter's birthday. That is crazy. That everything is crazy. He's done is right around my,
And you've got that swastika tattoo on your neck.
And I hate black
on
people.
Your car. Exactly.
I mean, this is crazy.
He covered his white power tattoo with a Juggalo tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, all the swastikas on my arm. That's why I black my arm.
Yeah, that's true.
I do.
So he was born to Alois Hitler, who was a male. That's a male name. A customs official. And he was born to Carla... And I've read two different names. One that I read in like multiple sources was that it was Schickelgruber. And then in one source, it said it was Polz, P-O-L-Z-L. But I read multiple articles that said that his actual birth name was Adolf Schickelgruber. It does not demand the respect of Hitler.
Heil Schickelgruber. Grickelschruber.
Schitzelnasel. Schitzel.
His born name was Schickelgruber.
Let's go with shit on shingle, man.
So I can understand.
Can we call him Haagen-Dazs?
I can understand the change to Hitler. That was a very sound PR move because Schickelgruber is a bit of a mouthful.
And according to Nostradamus, he was Hister.
That's true.
Yeah. That's a good topic. We should do that one day.
We should do Nostradamus. Yeah.
Or not.
And the one thing that I will say doing this research is I had like a funny Hitler moment. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it right now, I'm equating it to...
You hung
to,
a black person?
I'm equating it to Brent. Actually, he didn't hate black people as much as a lot of other people.
French?
He hated French communists.
Which, who doesn't hate French people? True. Even Canadians hate the French side of Canada.
Yeah.
And then Jews.
And Jews. And communists.
Yeah. And communists. Yeah. But those were both French and Jews too, and or...
Homosexuals.
Or Jewish people who moved to France and started
and
sucking dick.
People who smoked and people who killed animals
and union,
stuff.
Apparently union
and,
laborers.
And books, hated books and children.
Yes. He punched babies.
I'm on board.
Anyway, and I think this ties into Brent. Like every photo you see of him, like there's photos of him like when he was a soldier in World War One, and he's like sitting in lederhosen and like everyone around him is in lederhosen and they're all holding like steins of beer and they're all laughing and there's like a guy with a little German ukulele and they're all having fun.
He's
and
ready.
Hitler,
never
Hitler's
smiles.
Just staring at the camera mad dogging it looking all serious and it's like there'll be photos of like two of his generals laughing and they're not even looking at the camera and he's just burned like looking at the camera.
I feel the camera,
like,
man. I'm
stoic.
Ready for it.
Like as soon as the camera comes out, Hitler puts put on his Hitler face. Mm-hmm. He got himself all schickelgrubered and he just stared at the camera like mad dogging it. And I will also say I was very impressed because the World War One pictures before he got wounded in World War One, he had a fucking dope like Kaiser style handlebar twisty mustache.
Ooh. I didn't see that. I saw that mustache through the ages. I didn't see that.
No, that was like a brief period when he was, and it's like a picture of him and like several other soldiers who are all like smiling, you know, and he's weird. Like mad dogging the camera. I with thought his
maybe
crazy,
that was a period thing, but he just like chose that fucking mustache.
When he was convalescing,
the trend
when he was injured the second time in World War One, he trimmed his mustache gas off into thing? That. Yeah,
during the gas time. That's weird.
So
That guy's in New Jersey.
Is he in New Jersey?
The crazy tweaker dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. New Jersey.
Okay. I thought he was in the South. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. They're all fucking weirdos over there.
So Adolf's childhood, you know, I was looking for like the serial killer check boxes, you know, that we normally look at. And I didn't find as many of them as I thought there would be.
It was his dad's fault, man. Yeah, it was pretty much his dad's fault.
He had a very bad relationship with his father, Alois, who was abusive. I guess he would like rail on Adolf because Adolf wanted to be an artist. And his father did not want him to be an artist. So he would like talk shit and get in all these fights with his dad all the time and everything. So he had a really rough relationship.
I mean, who wants their kid to be an artist?
Right. I'd rather have you dominate the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know,
I want you to do something that's going to make money.
Yeah.
Well, he made, be an artist.
He made plenty of money. And then apparently his younger brother, Edmund, who he was very close to, died in 1900. I didn't read the cause of death, but I assume the cause of death was 1900.
He got the Hagenflogen.
He got the Hagenflogen.
He got Hagenflogen to death.
And apparently after his brother's death, he became detached and introverted and he quit caring about school and he started to study like German nationalism. And instead of like spending time on his school projects, I read that he would spend all of his time reenacting major German battles through history.
You have to think about the period. Once again, no Netflix. I often wonder like, what would we be into if we didn't have like the internet and TV? Mm-hmm. You would go to history. You would start to look at things like that. That's what would catch. That would be exciting. As exciting as it could get.
Yeah.
Is it going to be that or you're excessively masturbating?
Oh, you know,
that's your two options.
You know, I did see or both. I saw,
if you can blend the two, that's an incredible talent.
It is.
If
you can masturbate while recreating battle stories, that's an impressive feat.
Well, I mean, we could sword fight. there was the Curiosity Channel thing that you pay like $2.99 a month and it's like all documentaries. Like it's like a channel of just documentaries and learning. I was like, that's kind of
the History Channel.
No, the History Channel lies. They're liars and they're fakes and they hate black people.
Dave hates white people, I found out a second ago.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable now.
It's okay. There's two of us.
Yeah, man.
There's two of us.
I was going to show you a new tattoo I had and I ain't going to do it now. Yeah.
White power.
Yeah. I'm just proud of my heritage, man. That's all.
Yeah. You can come to our white club and have a black club inside of our white club, Dave.
I actually have a friend that has white power in the back of his arms, and he claims it's just because he's proud of his heritage. It's that whole thing. And then he wanted to get a Native American on his back, and then it said white power in the back of his arms. And I was like, because he's half Native American and half white. Mm-hmm. So it was a heritage thing, but I thought that was a bit of a conflict. Jumbo shrimp, man. It was weird.
Just don't change your name to Hitler. His father died in 1903 when Adolf was 14. And then a couple of years after that, when he was only 16, his mom let him drop out of school and, she died shortly thereafter. A whole lot of people dying.
Well, there is a checkbox. He was babied by his mom.
Yes, that's true.
Babied. He was a mama's boy.
Babied by his mom, abused by his father. Yeah. So those tick the boxes.
Tick the box. Yeah.
He ends up moving to Vienna where he works as a laborer and he starts to try to become a watercolor painter.
Ooh.
And
fancy.
So he does watercolors, and if you look at, they're nothing to write home about. They're not awful. They're not like fucking some great
master.
That's
what they said about Picasso.
That's true. And he applied to the Academy of Fine Arts twice and was rejected both times.
Which I have to say, I don't know, man, what is the fucking cut? Because some of his stuff's pretty good. I mean, an artist would probably crudely like examine it and say no.
Right.
But
Say no.
New.
New. That's how artists talk.
New.
New.
Yeah, I can't fucking draw a stick figure, so I was really impressed with it, actually. I thought
you can draw a stick figure.
You should see it. Yeah. I need a ruler. Yeah.
You can't just freehand a stick figure.
I got the shakes, man.
No.
Yeah. I got to take a shot of whiskey because I don't have the shakes. So I can draw a stick, man.
So he ends
gummy worm?
Yeah.
Through this era, he's like basically surviving on a pension he gets from the state because he's an orphan. He paints postcards and sells them on the street to make a little bit of side cash. He stays in homeless shelters, and
hostels, men's homes.
Yeah. And he says that for some reason, this era is when he starts to cultivate his anti-Semitism. And this is before World War One. This is before anything, but I think this is an era where later on, anyway, he claims that this is when he starts to see like a wealth disparity between Jewish businessmen and the typical, you know, Austrian or German.
Really interesting, like Zionist, anti-Semitic, like big banker. Like there's some other alternate views. Like I'm not saying the Holocaust didn't happen and I'm not saying he's not a bad guy.
It didn't.
But I did watch like a whole documentary that portrayed him in a good light.
Yeah.
And I was like, it seems like they were fucking poking the bear a little bit and then shit got crazy.
Well, they
got left alone.
They said in the beginning of that, I think I watched the same thing. It was people who rule the history.
It's the greatest, the greatest story never told.
Yeah. What was the quote they shared though? People who ruled history rule the future, and people who rule the present rule the past, or something like that. Which that's what they were applying to this, like saying that he wasn't what everybody says he is now, you know, like the history books, which I think it's 50-50.
Obviously,
you know,
he was in charge while people were getting gassed and shit, and he wasn't stopping
millions
it.
Of
but there was Himmler killed. And some stuff going on. I mean, and I don't know. A documentary is meant to be biased, and I'm not letting 1 hour change the fucking my view of Hitler.
Right.
But I was like, you know what? Like, if you make a list of like good things and bad things, his good list is pretty fucking good, though. He did a lot of stuff.
Well, the thing that fucked me up is when I was reading.
You do have blonde hair and blue eyes.
That's
Brent.
True.
That's true.
I was reading a summary of some of the thoughts that he said in Mein Kampf, which we'll get to later.
And most of our current presidential speeches are fucking word for word. You can take big ass excerpts out of mein speeches, Kampf. And they are fucking Hitler speeches.
Well, but here's the thing: like in Mein Kampf, he forwards this argument that, and he calls it the Jewish peril. And he says that the world is secretly run by Jews. And I have to, and at first I was like, give me a fucking break. What kind of anti-Semitic paranoia is that? But then when I thought back to our Rothschild episode, I was like, oh, okay, I guess
the
it
Treaty
is.
Of Versailles. Like,
well, Hitler, so he was a bad guy, but he had a point.
I mean, he shouldn't have killed millions of them, but he did have a point. The Rothschilds do run the world and they are Jewish.
Yeah.
So, and they were fucking with him in like a political, like financial sense. Like there's like the Treaty of Versailles and all this stuff that happens after World War One, and they showed letters to the it says like Lord Rockefeller, and they were
Lord Rothschild,
and they were imposing all these things on him and making him pay retributions to the French for World War One, and it was like humiliating,
just pissed him off,
pissed him off, and then
but
like,
this and again you're just to clarify, you're saying him, but he really didn't have anything to do with it.
I'm saying,
at this point, the Treaty of Versailles, all the shit that got dropped on Germany, he was a peasant fuckface at the time.
Yeah.
But German soldiers, he was a German soldier.
Yes, he was.
And they were traipsed through
Bulgarian, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. But they were made to walk through, like in front of different French people, like to humiliate the soldiers and stuff. Like there was a bunch of stuff that was done, and he was a soldier, like, you know, so you have that.
His point of view. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he moves to Munich in 1913, and when World War One breaks out, he applies to join the army right away. I read that he definitely saw action. Apparently his later accounts that he was like always in the shit were exaggerated. A lot of this time he was not on the front line. He was just doing other work.
He was a courier though.
So I read like the opposite. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know where that story comes from, but it was like that he wanted to be on the front line and he was like always in the heat of the battle. He got the Iron Cross second class.
Well, he didn't. Here's the thing, though, because he apparently for the first chunk of the war, from the stuff that I read, he wanted to be on the front line, right? But that wasn't his assignment.
Until he, yeah,
but
until
later
he got
on, he basically says, "I did this whole thing." So he ended up. And again, it was odd because he was an Austrian citizen. He wasn't German, but they let him into the army.
They said he never should have actually been able to do that. He should have been sent back to Austria. Yeah.
Right. So he ends up at the Battle of Somme where he's wounded. He gets the Iron Cross, and then he got the black badge.
At that point, he could have milked that wound at that point. I guess what happened was he commonly volunteered to be like in the most dangerous fucking situations, like putting himself in peril. And on that first wound, he stepped out of the tent. And as he stepped out of the fucking tent, his tent got like fucking blown up and the sleeve got like blown off the arm of his jacket. He was injured and had the choice to not go back.
That's like some Looney Tunes.
Yeah. But he could have milked
it. Runner just moved.
Wile E. Coyote dropped an anvil on the tent.
Just barely missed it. But he steps out and does that. And then he insists on going back to the front line, though, when he could have got out of it. So I'm going to give him like credit for being fucking ballsy and brave.
Oh, for sure.
So, and he gets the Iron Cross second class.
Well, I mean,
first class.
For sure was ballsy.
First class
and brave.
He got after being gassed, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe so.
That's the second time.
That's right? When he went blind.
Well, he got injured in his eyes. And I guess people would flip the fuck out because they would go blind.
Right.
And they would get deep depression and freak out. But instead, he was in high spirits as he started to heal and had like these realizations and got his new mustache. And he fucking went back to
it. I'm just curious what the black wound badge is.
Mm. That's when he gets kind of gangrenous and you have to cut it out a little bit.
I guess so. Yeah.
Like that thing smells like almonds and it's
kind of
black.
It sounds legit. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing it's the equivalent of the Purple Heart, but that like sounds way more legit than a Purple Heart.
Black wound.
The black
like maybe
wound
you should have died.
Yeah.
And you did not. Brad's looking it up though. Like, he's our Jamie right now.
He is. Our Jamie.
Yeah, it's a Joe Rogan thing, man.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not Joe Rogan and my name is Brad, bitch.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's our bitch right now, is what I meant. Since you're gonna say bitch. Don't close your laptop. I don't have my phone over here.
Oh, no. Get on your phone and not pay attention.
So in 1918, post-war, he sees what's been happening. He found that the Treaty of Versailles was degrading, that the German people were injured. They were starving. There were a ton of economic sanctions to punish the Germans, etc. And this pissed him off like a lot of other Germans because they felt that the way that all of the world basically teamed up on Germany after World War I, they thought was excessive and kept Germany from being able to be self-sustaining, et cetera. And this breeds the Great German Depression. And this move basically is what allows him to sway all of Germany, because everybody's in a really bad economic state because of sanctions from outside parties. They blame the communists, they blame the Jews, they blame all these other groups, and Hitler's able to tap into that fear.
Well, and he's such a prominent, like he's so good at public speaking. Mm-hmm. He finds out he's really good. He tries to seize power of Munich and gets shot, gets imprisoned, sort of becomes a martyr because there's a firing squad at the end of the street and they try to shoot him, but he doesn't die and he gets in prison. So then all of a sudden he's in the public eye.
He used that court as like a stage. He turned it into like a pulpit.
You have to
and turn the judges to like his side.
Yeah, someone like after he gave his speech in the fucking court, he's like, if I'm guilty, then I'm guilty of like our country and all this. And then all of a sudden, like one of the judges literally was like, Heil Hitler. like people talk about
Hail Schickelgruber.
Yeah. Like breaking into tears.
And yeah,
like,
no,
they said he spoke with such passion that it was like he spoke in direct emotion. Like the words, the emotion that would be with the words is a direct emotion to you. Like you don't even hear the fucking words.
Right.
You just have the feeling.
Well, that's how a preacher does.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? You've got to be able
crying
to do that.
And shaking and fucking orgasming in the church.
Hitler was sometimes he'd be like, ha! At the end of it.
He's angry.
Up. Yeah.
So, but before.
Can
before,
I get a man?
Can I get a hail?
Before the hail. Before the attempted overturn. So basically, the progression is he joins. He's out of the war. He still works for the military as an intelligence officer, and his assignment is to monitor the activity of the German Workers' Party, which ultimately becomes the Nazi Party. And he starts to look at the ideas of its founder, a guy named Anton Drexler, And he basically becomes a convert while spying on them. And he realizes that their, you know, nationalist pride, they're anti-Semitic, they're anti-Marxist, like all the stuff that this group is for. He's like, fuck, I'm down with that.
Well, and what's Nazi stands for?
It's an abbreviation.
For it's actually a derogatory socialist. Like propaganda term that we made up about them. Like they didn't refer to themselves as Nazis. Yeah, because
it's a nationalist socialist, right? That's the party.
Yeah, there
it's
is
the,
a big.
That's yeah, it's a nationalist. Yeah. I can't even say it. It's German.
I'm not gonna be in the group anymore.
So, but he joins the group in 1919, and then his speeches, he's good at speeches.
Yeah.
His speeches are really powerful, and right away Anton Drexler realizes like this guy is the shit. Like he starts to speak at beer halls, he starts to like make the movement really popular, and he starts to spread the word.
You know what's awesome though is while he was in the military, his general would not promote him due to his lack of leadership ability.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Because he won all those awards and shit.
Right.
But no promotion. He doesn't have the skills. Right. He's not a leader.
Probably worried he was going to take his job.
Yeah, maybe so. He was like, fuck that guy.
And the boss fires that
guy. Send him to the worst battles we can find.
Siberia, bitch.
So he ends up, one of the early people who sort of fall under the sway of Hitler is a guy named Captain Ernst Röhm, who's the head of the Nazi paramilitary organization, which is called the SA. And they would protect meetings when Hitler was speaking. They would protect the meetings. They would rough up political adversaries.
Apparently,
they were kind of like
broke out and shit.
Yeah. And this guy would keep them protected.
This was a heated time. This is before World War II.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like the world is at separation, you know, and the country itself was at separation.
Yeah. And they're they're fucking starving and they're having a depression and everything else.
Like baby Russia, you know, it's Stalin. Yeah. Stalin's in play right now.
Yep.
Doing his starvation tactics. Yep,
That's exactly like the same exact time frame.
Yeah.
So then on November 8th, 1923, Hitler and several other like prominent right wing political figures, they storm a meeting of the Bavarian prime minister and they at a beer hall in Munich, and they try to like basically overthrow the government and take over. But like you said, it doesn't succeed. They call it the beer hall putsch. P-U-T-S-C-H.
Yeah, the putsch, yeah.
And I read putsch a couple of times. I'm guessing it has to do with just like a hostile overthrow of some sort. But he's tried for high treason. He ends up, it can't be that high of a treason because he only does 9 months in jail.
That's what I said. He turned that court into a fucking pulpit. And he figured out like, oh, this, it's not so hostile in here, you know, like I'm going to turn this shit around. And he started making speeches and, you know, and the, like Brent said, the judges like kind of became on his side and they're like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. We're going to give you like a nice plush cell where you get to see the countryside and end up letting him out on good behavior.
And if his,
I think, after like 18 months,
if his sales pitch is a way to improve Germany and his sales pitch is how fucked up Germans have gotten because of the Treaty of Versailles, et cetera, then I can imagine it would have been easy to sway the room and get everybody on board with him. I mean, they were his crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So while he's in jail, he comes up with Mein Kampf, which stands for My Struggle. And I have to say I was surprised because apparently he didn't write it. He just talked it.
It was poorly written. He had written some stuff and it was very poorly written and journalists rewrote it.
Yeah. And specifically Rudolf Hess.
Do you have the title, the original title?
No.
The original title was long and fucking stupid. And so they changed it to Mein Kampf.
Let's just break this down. Yeah.
It was kids who couldn't read very good.
Yeah. It was like, and the small children for school book with ants.
So most
Putsch means takeover or co-op.
That's what he said.
Most of the writing
assumed. I looked at the definition.
I assume
that's what it is too.
The bulk of it is attributed to being written by Rudolf Hess, who was one of his like top guys once he
advisor.
And in it again, he talks about the two evils of the world, which he said were communism and Judaism. He thought that everybody was working for Jewish interests. And I was curious how popular the book was. And basically, so this was in 1923.
Well, originally the book was a failure.
Originally it was a failure, but it started to pick up because between 1923 and 1933, he made 1.2 million Reichmarks of income from the book, which is roughly 3.5 million US dollars.
Or seven wheelbarrows.
That's seven.
And a loaf of bread.
But I mean, he made $3.5 million on this book in 10 years.
Yeah.
That ain't fucking bad.
Yeah. So last year, did you see how many books, Mein Kampf, or did you see how many copies Mein Kampf sold last year in Germany?
No.
85,000 and put it on the bestseller list.
But here's the thing, because it's weird.
Last year.
The thing is, though,
I want an original copy.
Yeah. That would be worth a lot of money.
They're like $400. We can do it.
He didn't, a couple of things. He didn't pay any taxes on the money that he earned. Mm-hmm. And the government was always in like trying to bust him for not paying taxes. But then once he took over the government, he just went ahead and waived his tax bill.
Yeah.
It's one of the perks.
Yeah.
The other thing is though, the reason that that spike in sales happened in 2016 is in Germany, the book, the copyright of the book was taken over after the war by the government, and the government made it illegal to ever print the book.
Oh, wow.
But the copyright ran out in 2016, so it now became public domain. So 2016 was the first time since the end of World War II that Mein Kampf was legally able to
print it. So that's why it's sold. They reprinted it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't
printed. But it's crazy.
But I mean, granted, you could have gone to fucking France and bought one.
Yeah.
But in Germany, it was illegal.
It's crazy that that many people bought that book that they were waiting. Like, oh, Mein Kampf's available now. Let's get it.
Right.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 1932, Hitler ran for president against Paul von Hindenburg. And he came in second. I guess there were two rounds of the election. He comes in second place on a pretty radically different platform than von Hindenburg. And basically, in order to sort of promote political balance, Hindenburg agrees to appoint Hitler as his chancellor or his number two, which is kind of one of the big oops of history, I suspect.
I thought everybody's got a chancellor. We don't have a chancellor. That sounds so cool.
Vice president, yeah.
Yeah. And our vice presidents suck.
Because chancellor sounds more impressive than president. Like, yeah. If you're the president, then you got a chancellor. You're like, oh, that's the president.
You have the Fuhrer, and then you have the chancellor.
Well, at the time, it was a president. It was a president and a chancellor. But then when von Hindenburg died, he became the Fuhrer, you know.
Or did he die of natural causes?
Right. Well, supposedly he was getting sick. And a bunch of laws got passed that, like, while he was dying, everybody passed laws saying that the next person's going to fucking control everything. And then he ended up. But I mean, he was already
died. That sounds
fishy. He died
in
a Zeppelin accident.
Yeah, that's what I call it. But so, again, this is the fishy thing. I had never heard of this thing. Did you guys read about the Reichstag fire?
Hmm. Yeah, that's the Capitol building got burned down.
Then they
had a bunch of legislation happen overnight to take away all the rights.
Yeah.
It's super like United States happening. Yeah.
So here's the thing.
That's why if you know, you got to know your history.
You got to know your history.
Yep.
So the Reichstag fire, the Reichstag is the main building of their parliament. It's their main government building. There's really famous footage of the Soviets like blowing up the swastika that's on the Reichstag during World War II once they conquer Berlin. But the Reichstag is the main building, and there's a fire that rips through the Reichstag, which would be like the equivalent of a fire like burning down the White House or something symbolically. And this is in 1933. There's a guy named Marinus van der Lubbe, Ernest Torgler, and Georgi Dimitrov, a couple of others as well with names I can't pronounce. But they're all indicted for charges of setting the Reichstag on fire. Van der Lubbe is convicted for the fire and beheaded.
Damn.
The others are proven innocent. One of them even defends himself, and I forget, it might have been Goering or something.
Beheaded?
Like,
I thought they're like firing squad status.
No, fucking cut his head off.
With what?
A Kaiser
butter
mustache,
knife.
I don't know. But one of them actually defended, and I forget, I read a transcript of it, but one of the people defended himself and refused to get a lawyer, and he successfully defended himself. And there's like a whole transcript of him arguing with, I think, Goering, who was like going after him, like one of the masters of propaganda and everything. And he was just like putting Goering in his place, like shutting him down at every argument and just like won the fucking argument. But even in 1967,
he just didn't have he didn't have thumbs and he couldn't light matches.
Yeah.
So it was like the glove doesn't fit.
They're like, oh, the Haagen-Dazs. doesn't have the huff and buff.
Right. But even in 1967, another German court looked at the evidence again and said that van der Lubbe, who was beheaded, was actually innocent and didn't do it. And a lot of people point to this as a false flag because Hitler was appointed on January 30th and this happened in February. So within weeks or days of Hitler becoming the chancellor,
and blame somebody.
Exactly. He passes the Enabling Act, which gave his cabinet full legislative powers for 4 years and let him completely break the Constitution. They ended up doing a mass arrests of communists, including all the communist members that were in the parliament. So every political piece of opposition that was against Hitler gets arrested and removed because these communists got blamed for burning down the Reichstag. And he basically sets up this de facto dictatorship by doing all this stuff. They become that same year, several months later, the Nazi Party becomes declared the only legal political party in Germany, all because of this Reichstag fire that most historians think was bullshit and that these guys didn't light the fire.
Well, probably not.
It was their Patriot Act thing. It was literally that they would, in times of emergency, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
And they declared this to be a time of emergency. So, he ends up another big thing. They always have great names. They had a thing called the Night of the Long Knives, which was a year later. And it was
they needed a lot of van der Lubbe that night.
They did need a lot of van der
Lubbe. And he wasn't there. It was raw.
But from June 30th to July 2nd, 1934, they had a thing called the Night of the Long Knives. And basically the guy Ernst Röhm, who was in charge of the SA, the precursor to the SS, the police force that helped protect the Nazi party. He was trying to gain more military power for the SA and take a little bit of power away from what Hitler was doing. So basically hundreds of people that were high up in the government were all killed in one night.
Yeah.
So Hitler could consolidate power even more. And they called it the Night of Long Lives. They think that about 85 people died in the purge for sure, but it was probably more like something in the hundreds. And over 1,000 opponents to Hitler were arrested and taken out of the government. So in a couple of days in 1934, he just fucking cleaned swoop. House.
Yep. You do not want to be against this guy.
And that was in July. In August, Van Hindenburg is sick and dying, and this is when the cabinet enacts a law that abolishes the office of the president. It combines everything to the power of the chancellor, and then when Hindenburg dies, Hitler is formally the leader and the chancellor. He becomes the Führer, and that's where the
I'm always surprised is how come like a primal alpha male doesn't take someone out, like someone that could whoop his ass, because he's not same thing with Stalin, same thing with, you know, Stalin was all short and fucked up and weird and like, same thing. Lots of people could probably kick Hitler's ass. Why doesn't that ever come into play? They're like, he's smarter than me. We'll just let him do it because it's for the better of the good. They see vision in it and they let
it happen. It's got to just be some fucking Game of Thrones shit. It's like, I could fucking kill this guy, but I'm not going to succeed. Like, his people are going to kill my family. His people are like...
But maybe no. What if you fucking chop his head off, turn around and throw the fucking sword down and say, I'm the boss, and then fucking start shouting orders?
Well, that's the Italian mob.
I think, like, I don't know. I think politics are too complex. Like, you're not going to be able to keep what
he's smart enough to keep it.
Well, he had the idea.
Yeah.
And the person that kills him doesn't have the idea.
And he had the charisma. Right. Yeah. I mean, you see the fucking speeches, man. People are fucking hail Hitlering and going nuts. Like, you can't take this fucking guy.
Say it, don't spray it though.
Well, at this time, people liked him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is his time of becoming, where people are actually, he's gaining traction and people are liking him, and he is doing things to become more powerful.
Right.
I mean, but what politician doesn't?
Right.
And then, but people are still liking him. And even after the war and stuff, people liked him. Like,
it's pure Schicklgruber.
Yeah.
Pure Schicklgruber.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, when he takes power, there's 7 million people unemployed. I mean, they're just fucking state of total like depression and poverty. People are fucking starving.
And he's probably promised them that he's going to fix everything. You know what I mean?
He fucking does.
It's not a hollow
promise. That's what's crazy. In one year, he creates 3,374,000 fucking jobs or something. Everyone goes back to work in like a period of like 6 years or 7 years. Almost fucking 6 million jobs. Right. He's built superhighways, builds housing for the people to live in, starts paying them well, creates the 40-hour work week that our whole thing is based off of now. He creates the concept of overtime, healthcare for pregnant fucking women. I mean, the list fucking goes on. Like, he, the wildlife protection, the anti-smoking campaign, like, he fucking steps in the office. That's why I say just give Trump a chance, man. Who fucking knows? You know? Let him do it. Who knows? I don't know.
So, but in the meantime, I mean, of course, in the background of all of this, his focus of the animosity is the Jewish people. And it's just from 1933 to 1939, when World War II started, there were literally hundreds of laws and regulations enacted throughout the Reich to restrict Jewish rights.
Right.
I mean, they started more subtle.
And all rights, even though. I mean,
like, true. But, yeah, but
and they willingly give them away because in trade, they're like, hey, we're working, we're eating. There's fucking, you know, infrastructure
bread and
being,
food on, bread and meat being, on our table.
But even so, like, I mean, the average German citizen who wasn't Jewish didn't really have that many rights either, but at least the government had their back.
Right.
Like, the Jews were the ones, like, the law. I mean, they, the national boycott of Jewish businesses.
He created Jewish ghettos.
Laws to keep them from working in the government. Laws to keep them from ultimately from getting a thing that he called the Aryan paragraph, which was that Jews couldn't join organizations, employment, or any other aspect of public life. They were just like beyond.
At the same time, 150,000 troops were actually like either whole Jewish or part Jewish in the Reich. And at one point in time, they find out the ancestry of like one of his right hand men, one like his personal fucking bodyguard. They find out is Jewish, and he's just like, fuck.
Well, even
they made him
even
an honorary Aryan, and then kept him in the fucking.
Even SS. Hitler though, like he couldn't say that he was Austrian. Jewish.
He at one point he renounces Austrian citizenship, and there was like a 7 year period where he didn't have a home. Like,
well, there was a thing, his father's father, he didn't know his father.
Well, apparently his birth certificate is from Hawaii.
That's true.
Yeah. But they didn't have printers back then. Yeah. So
there were Jews
it's a big
Hawaii,
deal. You got to send letters and shit. Yeah.
But he created the Nuremberg Laws, which defined a Jew as anyone with 3 or 4 grandparents who were Jewish. Obviously things start to get really bad. Again, they've got great names for things. On November 9th of 1938, they have Kristallnacht, which is the night of crystal or the night of broken glass, which was like this massive escalation of Nazi persecution of Jews. 30,000 Jewish men were arrested, and it was sort of the first wave of people sent in mass to a concentration camp. Businesses were burned down. People were murdered.
That's what I was saying. If you're Jewish, like, you might just want to leave.
You
Germany
might just want to get
point.
The fuck up out of there. Obviously,
they're hating on you, haters.
And again, the estimates are 6 million Jews dead. But he started the camps. He emphasized euthanasia for disabled adults that weren't Jewish. Yeah. Like, if you had any sort of a defect, he wanted you to be dead and not be part of the gene pool. All of his eugenic stuff. He hated Poles, communists, homosexuals, Jehovah's Witnesses, trade unionists, which is odd.
Efficient machine, that makes sense. Logically, that is the most efficient, like, progressive. That's going to keep society moving forward with the best results, most likely. I'm not justifying that shit.
I mean, he did the Sparta thing, you know, like he's wanting all Germans to be, you know, tall and athletic and strong, you know, like the underlying point, he had it right, but he just went a little overboard.
Yeah, he went a little
If you have no emotion or compassion.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, if you have no compassion.
And again,
emotion,
I still wonder how much of this he honestly felt and how much of it he knew needed to happen to motivate people.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously knew exactly how to push buttons and motivate people. You need an enemy.
You need a focused enemy.
And if the enemy, if you can say the Jews are our enemy, you can get the entire nation behind you to agree with you. Hatred is easy to
spew.
Yeah. And I think by just, you know, reading Mein Kampf that he hated the French. And he hated
the communists.
He hated the French and he hated the Jews.
Well, the French, like, there was some encroachment. They were like given rights to mine.
Yeah.
Like they were coming across the border. They at one point, because of World War One, like retributional like payments that Germany owed that they couldn't keep up with, the French came in, sort of just basically invaded and said, "We're going to make you pay." They would walk by and slap the hats off of people's head if they didn't remove their fucking hat when they walked by. There's video.
Yeah, they're being dicks.
Exactly. They used a baguette.
Yeah. They hit you with the baguette.
They had striped shirts and little fucking painter hats on and shit.
Yeah. Who wouldn't be offended? Oh, fucking bastards.
So, I mean, there's reason. Well, like I said at the beginning, it's poking the bear. They hated the French because of that. Then the French and British, the whole World War II.
Yeah. And then Poland,
they didn't just invade Poland. Poland was fucking encroaching on their borders and blocked them off and cut them completely off from like a town, Danzig. Like they couldn't get to their people. They were slaughtering fucking Germans. Like the Polish people had slaughtered like 52,000 Germans. You know what I mean? And they pushed their hand. They're like, I got to fucking do something about this. France and Britain are going to get fucking pissed if I do this because they're over here, but I'm fucking doing it because they're killing 52,000
Because Hitler loved Danzig and he couldn't get there to listen to any of their, he couldn't get to any live shows because of the Poles.
He's like, Mama! All the way over there. That's all it was.
It was rough.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two sides to every story, and we're not saying, I mean, obviously we're not saying that what he did was, everything was completely right to kill as many Jews as he did. I say you kill some of them. I mean, they're like rats. I mean, you don't want to exterminate them completely.
I wish you could see the look on Brent's face. He doesn't even know how to respond.
I was going to say Jesus Christ, but that's not a good joke.
But I mean, at the heart of it, obviously something, I mean, he still had to have something that he was working with to get everyone on board with him. I mean, you can't just say this guy's batshit crazy and convinced everyone to follow him. Like,
that's why false flags happen. You need a common interest, a common enemy, patriotism. You need nationalism.
But it's interesting that his only alleged false flag was against communists, but then the big push was against Jewish people.
Yeah.
So that's
well, Jews were running the world, you know, like that. I mean, that's if he could get everybody on board to hate the Jews and he could take them out, essentially, you've taken out the leaders of the world.
And he got rid of the communist leadership earlier anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, killed him and locked him up and all that kind of stuff. So the communist threat wasn't a big threat to his power base.
Originally in Star Wars, it was going to be Chewbacca. Run the movie industry and shit, but somehow his influence stretched all the way that it rewrite it.
Yeah.
So on September 1st, 1939, World War One is said to have formally started. Germany invades Poland. And in response, Britain and France both declare war on Germany 2 days later. The war, we just completely stay out of it, right? I mean, most of Europe is like begging America to stop its, you know, non-interference policy and join the war. And we're like, nope, fuck it.
So
like,
apparently there's also some creepy backdoor geopolitical financial things happening.
Sure there is.
Of America wanting to come into the fucking war. Mm. You know what I mean? There was some, and that had to do with like that Treaty of Versailles. I can't remember.
Well,
it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Over my head.
Yeah. They let Pearl Harbor happen. Right. That's what we had discovered, that they let it happen so that they could get into the war.
Yeah. There's a lot of evidence,
but they had to have something to let the American people be like, oh, fucking get in there and get them.
They were supposed to get rights to something, or I don't remember. They were supposed to be able to take on something. I just fucking can't remember. I can't speak to it intelligently, so I won't.
Right. That's the subtitle of our podcast. Yeah.
We like to speak to it intelligently.
I can't speak to it intelligently.
We'll move on.
I won't.
Yeah.
I'll just say a dick joke. Yes. In June 22nd of 1941, he violates the non-aggression pact with Stalin, and he sends a massive army into the Soviet Union.
Mistake.
The the invading force ends up basically taking a shitload of Russia, like, right away, because he's all about, I mean, he's like the master of shock and awe, like his blitzkrieg, his, and he's really, I mean, he's invented brand new technologies and he's seen new ways to wage war that the rest of the world hasn't caught up with. Even when he takes France, I mean, after World War One, France built the Maginot Line, which is like a massive wall that would have stopped.
So that doesn't work.
Huh. Yep. We have a line here, sir.
But it was, I mean, it was impressive. It's like, I mean, because World War One was all trench warfare, fighting on the ground, etc. So they built this impressive wall.
It was out of fucking stale bread, just old baguettes.
I mean, the Maginot Line would have stopped a land invasion from working, because you just couldn't have gotten through it. There's no way. But they just flew right the fuck over it and bombed the shit out of everybody. And he was the first
political person to use a plane to campaign. Like, he would fly around. That was his motto, was like Hitler above Germany or something.
Oh,
like
really?
Yeah. Well, they had crazy, like the Panzer tanks and they created all these
crazy technology, shit that nobody else had. Yeah. I mean, they just advanced fast, like fucking
U-boats
rapidly.
That they had Blitzkrieg, to figure out how the
Blitzkrieg
fucking,
actually means lightning war, right?
Yeah. So he ends up in circling Leningrad, like hits Kiev, like just fucking craziness. They get stopped outside of Moscow in December of 1941.
Blitzkrieg is white lightning. Mm-mm. That's what it is.
No.
Mm-hmm. I think it's lightning warfare.
Is it lightning warfare? I thought it was white lightning. People have been lying to me my whole life.
I think that's your nick. That's the name
of your band. You were the in
name
high
of
school.
Your, it's the name of your Johnson.
White lightning.
It's quick. Pale.
And then, of course, that same year, 1941, that's when Japan attacks Pearl Harbor. Then honoring the alliance with Japan, Hitler is now at war with all allied powers. We join the war. Everything steps up. And from what I had read, I was trying to read, like, because everybody points out, like, all the fucking mistakes Hitler makes during the war that basically make him lose. But I was like, what was his original plan? And the best thing that I saw of his original plan and why everybody was on board with this was his plan was to take Poland, take France, like, right away, and own all of Europe all the way up to the English Channel. He thought that by bombing the shit out of England, he would very quickly be able to send troops in and take over England. And using England as a staging ground, he was going to build a massive navy that would come to conquer the United States. And he expected that Japan was going to wage war against the other half of the Soviet Union, because the Nipponese army was no fucking joke. And he thought that he was, like, converging in the middle of Russia with Japan coming on the other side. But then when they bombed America and they suddenly had to worry about us coming at them, they couldn't attack Russia. And then everything just fucking fell apart in his plan. So, I mean, when I sort of read that plan, it was sound.
Right.
Like, his ideas would have worked, but that whole
Until you got America involved.
Like, when the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor and we got involved, and then they couldn't live up to their end of the deal to get into Russia.
It was also something to do with him not building planes. Remember, we talked about it in Nazi tech. Like, he didn't build new stuff. He just kept pumping out his other stuff, and our tech finally, like, surpassed them.
He eventually starts making a shit ton of mistakes.
Right.
But I mean, at least that, I mean, he does all kinds of things that are tactically disastrous.
It becomes you at war with the world. Right. Like, it wasn't a world war. It was everybody trying
against
to defeat
you.
Germany.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I mean, but that original plan, I was like, oh, okay, that plan makes sense. Now I see why he was doing it, because there was a planned end game. Etc. But then
I'm really hungry for French bread right now because I talked about it. I'm starving, man.
You keep talking about
so it. So his judgment becomes increasingly erratic. His powers couldn't sustain
crazy,
his. Like, I'm sure he did. He just fucking went mad with power and meth and fucking everything else.
Oh yeah, the meth.
Yeah,
that's right. The Methenheisen.
And then, so they start to take some losses. They try to take the Suez Canal, and they fail. And that makes them lose North Africa, which makes them lose their oil reserves. The German army suffers a huge defeat at the Battle of Stalingrad, which is just ridiculously brutal and bloody to both sides of the army. They lost the Battle of Kursk in 1943. And then when D-Day comes around on June 6, 1944, that's pretty much the end of the war. The war still goes another year, but that's it.
Yeah, like, it's just pretty much waiting on us to decide to drop the bomb.
Right, pretty much at that point.
You know, I understand why Hitler took meth, though. He probably needed to be up I mean, just fucking, he probably ran ragged planning shit and like, you know, just not sleeping for days on
Japanese
end.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know that there's repercussion or some type of addictive consequence, you're fucking Superman when you take that shit. Why would you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, I'd take it if, if there was
probably a lot of his speeches were on that shit. You know,
oh, I'm sure
sweating and he's fucking shaking and he's just spitting, screaming. Yeah.
And then, you know, even in this era, like in the 1944 era, in July of 1944, there was the July plot where members of the SS tried to kill Hitler because they thought it was what was best for the country.
Starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise himself kill Hitler. And that was why it didn't work, because they realized that this guy must be an American actor from the future because he doesn't have a German accent while he speaks German. So it was really confusing.
I am kind of getting over them having the fucking white popular guy just play whatever part and needs to be that because he's popular and the name's going to sell. Like, get a German guy to do that. Last Samurai, get the fuck out of here, Tom Cruise.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie. About that movie. I fucking like that movie.
I actually do like that fucking movie.
But that's the point of the movie. He's a Civil War vet.
Yeah, he's a Civil War vet. Yeah, you know. Yeah,
you're going to have a Japanese guy play a Civil War vet? Uh-huh.
I guess that was a bad example.
Yeah, it was.
Airbender, man. The Avatar Airbender one, that made me really mad. That white kids in the Eskimo tribe.
Yeah.
And the grandma was Eskimo.
And the Rock as the mummy. Yeah, you're right.
The Rock as the mummy.
Yeah. Scorpion King.
Scorpion King.
Couldn't he have been an Egyptian? He looks, what's an Egyptian look like? He's Hawaiian. He didn't have the eye makeup for he's
black, half white. Like, he ain't even Hawaiian. He's a fraud. He's
sexy as fuck.
he is.
Nah, that dude's fucking yoked.
Yeah. And then we should also talk, I mean, another thing that Hitler did well was marry.
Scrabble.
He was good. He married and never, like, he never had marital trouble or got a divorce.
He didn't get married for a long fucking time, though, because he thought that it would change the outlook of the female perspective of the population because they would not have the chance. He decided that his image as a bachelor was more desirable as far as
smooth.
Yeah. Because the chicks thought they had a chance they might get some of that Hitler.
And when I say there wasn't any problems in his marriage, it's because it only lasted a day.
Oh, that's right. They got married in fucking allegedly.
Right.
Both AIDS or, and lead. Yeah,
if they did die, according to the official report, they got married on the 29th. They killed themselves on the 30th. So it was a hell of a honeymoon present for old Eva. But yeah, so basically he was, according to the official story, he was informed of the execution of Benito Mussolini, who I like to pronounce Mussolini.
Brad shakes his head over there.
Benito was killed and the writing was on the wall that the tides are turning because he was loved in Italy and they fucking literally tore his body apart in an angry mob by the end of the war. So supposedly they both shot themselves the day after their wedding in a bunker, and supposedly they were taken to a bombed out area outside of the Reich Chancellery.
Keep going.
Yeah, you got it.
Reichstag Chancellery. And their bodies were burned. And then 5 days later, Berlin fell on May 2nd, and then 5 days later on May 7th, Germany officially surrendered unconditionally to the Allies.
And then the Glock, Soviets invaded. The Glock Bell hovered in and took them to the dark side of the moon.
That's right. So, of course,
they were vacation in Brazil, man.
And here's the thing: like, people joke about the fact that Hitler was still alive, etc. And to be perfectly honest, there's no reason to suspect that that couldn't have been the case.
Yeah, I was going to say, because people were leaving or SS members were leaving
very high
well before.
Members. Yes.
Well before the end of the war, well before Hitler, you know, supposedly shot himself.
I mean, there was the full infrastructure to get them out. The Project Odessa that we've talked about before.
We might have set them up in a fucking state penitentiary suite, man.
I mean, and if other high-ranking Germans had the means with their own fortune to get themselves out of Germany.
He definitely did.
He definitely had the means to get his own ass out of Germany. He could have just fucking flown himself out on a plane and done whatever and settled in Argentina, which is what people think might
have
happened.
He just grew a goatee and became a college professor. He taught German.
No, he put his public speaking. What'd you call him? The Kaiser mustache?
The Kaiser mustache.
Yeah, he put that back on.
So there was a
started painting again. You know,
there was a British. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There was a British journalist named Gerard Williams.
He has an Etsy store.
He does. And Simon Dunstan. And they wrote a book called Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler. And they claim they like in the book, they discuss what they consider to be an overwhelming amount of evidence to submit that Hitler died as an old man in South America. They think he died. Yes, he wouldn't have been that old. They think he died in 1962 and that he raised two daughters in Argentina. Yeah. And they, one of the things that they claim is that the forensic tests that were done on the skull of the body that they claim was Hitler's body that was shot, et cetera, they claim it was the skull of a 40-year-old female and then it wasn't Adolf Hitler.
Makes sense.
Which wouldn't have been Adolf.
Do they still have that skull? They didn't keep that shit. That's apparently not in the grave. We can't do some DNA shit now.
I don't know.
Can't check the skull.
I'm sure we've still got some Hitler DNA somewhere that we could we could test that on.
Nobody's doing that. No. That America has settled on that he was shot. That's in the history books. You know, right. He was. I don't know. I think if anybody escaped Nazi Germany, Hitler escaped Nazi Germany.
It just seems like there would have been a bigger deal about his body. I just can't imagine the Soviets being like, oh, there's Hitler's body. Let's take it out and burn it real quick. It seems like, there's film footage of Mussolini being torn apart by the Italians. Like,
well, also just, Stalin,
it seems
would
like
that,
you would use that as your propaganda. Yeah. You would hoist his dead body up for the world to see and use it for like speeches in the Soviet Union. But the fact that they just fucking al-Qaeda him threw his body off the side of the...
Fucking exactly what I was about to say. And Stalin whooped his ass and we smiled for the camera. Like, I didn't have any idea until we started studying this shit. I thought like, oh, we got him, but like, not really. No, Russia whooped their ass and then we showed up. We're like, what's in here?
We largely whooped their ass, but they were just closer to because there was a big race. Patton was trying to get to
capture the flag.
He wanted to get to Germany first.
But they got to Berlin first.
And he quickly burned the body though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before America got there.
I don't know. Couple other interesting things that I saw while I was looking up weird Nazi conspiracies, aside from them having a base on the moon in Antarctica and all that stuff.
That's true. Those aren't conspiracies.
Yeah, that's true. There's a guy named Father Gabriel Amorth, who's literally the Vatican's chief exorcist. And he said in an interview in 2006 that Pope Pius XII performed a long distance exorcism for Hitler because the Catholic Church thought he was possessed by the devil.
It was just meth.
Meth is a bitch.
Sorry, priest. Yeah, it was just the meth.
Sorry.
And he was detoxing because they couldn't get it in Venezuela. And so he's laying in bed and they had to strap him down. He's pissed off.
Speaking of, they came up with another train spotting. You see that? Speaking of, no, nothing. You guys haven't seen train spotting?
No. Yeah.
Somebody gives a fuck.
I don't care.
No, I know they came. I didn't know it was out yet, though.
I don't know if it's out, but yeah, the detox thing is what I thought about that.
I was really confused. I was looking at the next thing in my notes and what you said had nothing to do with the next thing in my notes. Because the next thing in my notes was the fact that the medic who treated Hitler after the Battle of the Somme said that he only had one testicle. So I just read that in my notes and you said, speaking of which, a new movie came out. I was like, what does that have to do with having one testicle?
The drummer from Def Leppard only had one arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he have Hitler's testicle?
He had three. He had three testicles.
That's how he could drum so good with one arm. Yeah. He had that devil testicle in his pocket.
That always hit the tom. It says doom, doom.
He's got a metal devil testicle. I got Hitler's testicle.
Stepbrothers drumming right there.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think it's entirely possible.
I'm fully on board. He got out. I don't think there's any reason he would shoot himself. And I mean, if you know you have an out,
right?
If you know you have an out,
it's all your homeboys are getting.
They're
out.
All going.
Like, I just can't.
And you have the best chance of getting out,
right?
I mean, why wouldn't you leave?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Harrison Ford was involved though.
Maybe Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Escape from Nazi Germany.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a new movie. It's coming out. Did you see that one?
He's wearing a white tank top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See it.
He has Führer on his back.
I know two jokes. In my life, I know two jokes, and one of them deals with this subject.
Let's hear it, man.
Right. How many Jews can you fit in an oven?
No. Oh. I don't know that joke.
What's a pizza and a Jew have in common?
These are getting bad. So,
what do you call two black people in a sleeping bag?
Twix. So. I'm from a really racial fucking school.
Brit, I know I'm all getting Brit fired up.
You can't get one past
me. No, come on. Come on.
By the way, I had someone on, I can't remember their username. So I had someone on Instagram and they posted something and they said, like, they sent me a message and it said, I really like your podcast.
But we're one breath away and from
the,
saying
well, the word. No. And then the next comment under it was, are you guys racist? And then the comment under that was, wait, never mind. I think you're joking.
Yeah. I think you're joking.
I just had a conversation with a lady that was like, I love the podcast, but I really am uncomfortable with the fact that Brit and Brad are one breath away from saying the N-word.
What? And I just said, you know, like I say a nagger?
Yeah, I said, hey, we're not going to say it. Don't worry.
So, okay.
I think I did already in another. Well,
you said it, but in more context, I didn't one probably
last time that we didn't.
The only edit ever.
No, I didn't edit one out. There was one.
You're going to leave that to the conspiracy?
I don't care. I got more black friends than black people, so you can suck it.
Yeah. I don't. I have one and a half.
Yeah. He got it. I have more black friends than most black people have black friends. Okay. Yeah. Is that better?
I thought you meant you, like...
I have more black friends than black people.
You possess more black friends than you do possess black people.
I do.
If Jarrell Jones will send me a message and say that we're real friends, just like pen pals, then I got 2.5.
He doesn't like you.
Jarrell Jones likes me?
No, he doesn't.
Nah, he talks to me in his videos and shit. Awkward shout-out, Jarrell. Huh?
I don't know what about Patreons?
I want to talk about...
if you want.
He's funny. He talks about bagels.
Yeah, that's
so. Shout out to a couple of other Patreons. Again, we did some research into looking at, that's what I'm always going to call them.
Yeah, that's good.
Research into looking at them.
Yeah.
That's a particle below gluons.
Yes.
Yeah. You break a gluon apart, that's a Patreon.
We cyberstalked them to find out something about them, and we found out some stuff about a handful of them. A guy named Trent Sherrill. And apparently he's one of a handful. We've got a couple of people who have done this. They've put like a full sticker on the back windshield of the Sofa King podcast, which is like really fucking legit. But he got one of them and he put it on his car. But then apparently based on his Facebook posts, he only did it so that he's turned on when he has sex with the muffler. So I thought that was an odd.
You know, that's a thing. There's a lady that's in love with the Eiffel Tower. She gets sexually aroused. Like she straddles the fucking bar.
They fall in love with objects.
And there is.
No, I know. Her name is Ashley Creasy.
Yeah.
No,
she's one of our Patreons.
She eats Vaseline and raisins in addition to whatever you're about to say.
A guy named Alex Ped, he created, which was really cool. He went out of his way. He did all this work for us. He created like the official Sofa King app.
His last name's Pedophile though, but he goes by Ped for short.
He does go by Ped.
For marketing purposes on the app, he was advised.
Well, but the problem is that the app is for BlackBerry.
Yeah.
That's a limited market.
Very misstep.
But if you get a good app, you're selling it because they got nowhere to go.
Seth Holmes, and it's weird. Like, you can't understand most of what he says on social media. It's like these jarbled, like, noises because he claims he can speak cockroach.
That's a thing.
Is it?
Yeah. No, I've seen they can get him to change direction by making vocal commands.
Oh,
it's
so
like
he does that?
It's a frequency thing. Wow. Yeah. Like they'll walk in a straight line and they can actually get them to have a better success rate in like controlled mazes by making.
You said it's a freak thing?
Yeah. That's a freak thing for fucking sure. Fucking freak. But they can navigate mazes better when they look at the data statistically. The people that are actually making the squeaks show better results in the maze.
So he's a cockroach whisperer.
Yes. Squeaker.
So another guy, Phil DeBeast. We actually just discovered that his real name is Will DeBeast.
He changed it
because he was embarrassed.
Yeah. I would be too.
Yeah.
You know where he's from originally?
No.
Africa.
Mm.
Yeah. Nothing. Someone said they got tired of our voices. They're like, I fucking listened to your podcast for like 4 days. I got so fucking tired of you guys. I tried to stop listening to podcasts. So I turned on my fucking Spotify and Toto Africa fucking came on. I don't know who it was, but he posted a picture. He's like, you motherfuckers, I can't get away.
Yeah. We're everywhere. And then two more, Brandon Enix. He's a cranberry farmer. And you know, if you see those commercials, like cranberries, like they have them in like water.
In a lake.
Yeah. So like in a lake or in a pond or whatever. When he's a very successful cranberry farmer, but he only does it with no pants on.
Mm-hmm.
since he's covered. And apparently he's the reason it's called Ocean Spray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of his behaviors. And then finally we had
cranberry juice.
We had Joel Draper. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have anything
to say. He never gets Joel urinary tract infections up for the record. It's fucking impossible. True.
I have nothing to say about Joel Draper except the fact that when we were going over this list right before the show, Brad was reading it like upside down and backwards from the other side of the table. And when he read the name, he honestly said, Joel Diaper?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying anything about that except Joel Diaper.
I'm sure he never fucking heard that from the third grade all the way through high school.
Well, you're hearing it again now.
That's not my fault.
Along with a couple of hundred thousand other people. So welcome.
Change your name to fucking Joel Hitler. You'd have a fucking better shout out.
Joel Maxipad. Yeah. You might sound more.
We should make candy bars named after dictators or something weird and see if it affects, so like the Mussolini bar, the Hitler bar. No,
yeah, the mousse
don't really Mussolini have a ring. Bar.
You have some chocolate mousse in it. Mm-hmm. You're getting there.
See,
yeah.
It's a Hitler have.
That's all I got.
What's a Stalin have?
I don't know.
Fucking stale crackers,
potatoes. It's just fucking.
This is nothing in the wrapper.
The famine bar. It's empty. Yeah.
Sponsors.
It's Locale. That's that one. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can log on to elyucateco.com. They have a gear store. We never talk about that.
Yeah, we do.
Nah, we haven't said that in a long ass fucking time. God, he's so argumentative tonight.
Your mom is.
She is.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm. Right now.
She's out of town, to my knowledge. Maybe that's a story. She's hanging out with Brad later. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to finish these sponsors.
Do it.
El Yucateco does have a gear store. So if you have all the bottles of El Yucateco and you're fiending for something else and you can't seem to win the hot sack because you can't take a cool picture and beat everybody, you can buy shirts and all kinds of shit on there. They have actually. And what else? You can save some money doing it by using code SOFAKING. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. We have some temporary tattoos allegedly coming on the way. I don't know if we're going to sell those or how you're going to get them, but probably make you do something stupid. I bet. What else? Who else we got?
You losing it?
No.
Yeah.
I'm just making it as awkward Amazon. As possible. Com. I'm interrupting myself. So you can't, man. Like I talk shit on my mom. You know what I mean?
They fucked him up.
Then you can't do it. No, it's a strategy.
I don't know.
Yeah. Daily Own Graphics.
Oh yeah. The dick pillow guy.
That's the guy. Okay.
Handsome as
they
fuck,
see him though. On the street. Yeah. Like they see him on the street and say, "Hey, dick pillow guy.
Yo, so dick pillow, what's up?
Hey, copper, you make me a dick pillow."
Yeah, see. Yeah.
So he makes t-shirts and koozies and shit, and he can make them for you too. You can hit him up on Facebook and or Instagram at Daily Own Graphics with an X. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs and such. You can also have them make weird shit for you. You can contact them through Facebook at digital.creationsbakersfield. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com, and for whatever reason you could also log into the other site. Not that you're listening to me and buying shit anyway, but if you're not going to go to that site, you could also not go to what site, Brad?
That one.
The other one starts with a B and it ends with an O. Good luck finding it.
Ends with an S.
/
Budo videos.
Oh
yep,
the word. I was talking about the first word.
Oh
yeah. So yeah. But you can go buy ahead. Shit there. Instructional DVDs.
If you're into judo or jujitsu or shih tzus,
I think it's a judo fetish site, actually. Yeah. That stuff. Yeah. Judo fetish site.
Nude judo.
Yeah.
Shih tzus doing jujitsu.
It's all called nudo.
Shih tzus doing jujitsu.
It's all in there.
It's a really weird fetish site.
Shih tzu jujitsu club.
And nudo, which is nude judo. Mm-hmm. There's shit flying everywhere.
They've got it all. Yeah. Spitting shit kicks.
Yeah, like how to perfect the spitting shit kick video.
It's all there.
It's Dave's brother on there just like, drink a bunch of Blue Thunder right now.
They're sponsored by Blue Thunder.
That's who actually put out the video. Blue Thunder.
Anything else?
All right, recovered.
All right. Don't be retarded.
A lot of rappers talking that shit, not enough doing that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. People acting like I ain't a fucking criminal.
Alright, bro.
Like I ain't never doing dirt, though. Probably cause the way I'm doing shit is clinical. Yeah. But I've been putting in some work, bruh. I see you looking at me cynical.
Stop looking at me.
I ain't fucking with your smirk, ho. We've been doing shit despicable.
Don't sleep.
but we just keep it on the low. For example, walking to the movie with my pants full, Twix, bag of chips, plus a Snapple, stealing all the shampoos from the hotels, pretty bathrooms, cheating, I've been peeking in the classroom, looking like a nice guy, till I take your motherfucking Wi-Fi, and touring every single song in my library, then I drive while very fucking high by everybody, while my lady licking my 5-inch dick.
Yeah, we bout that. Do a lot of dirt, never doubt that. Lot of rap twerps, let us shout crap. Let us make they mouth flap. When it come to bird, no, we spout facts. You gon' learn what I'm bout, bruh.
Doing business at the airport.
Travel a lot for work.
At security, I ain't fraught. Lot of shit up in my JanSport. 6 ounce of the face wash.
The limit three.
My duffel bigger than with camboard. My shuffle on during takeoff. Will I help in an emergency? Yeah, sure. Exit row, finger straight cross. Thinking Dave soft, but I know you see me jaywalking. Pissing public, no caution. Halloween bucket, K1. Fuck you thinking Dave was. Give me all your motherfucking chocolate hoe. At the stop sign, never fully stopping though. Filling water cups up with a lot of coke. Egging homes, motherfucker, a lot of yo. Not alone up in this motherfucker, a lot of folks been doing.
Yeah, we bout that. Do a lot of dirt, never doubt that. Lot of rap twerps, let us shout crap. Let us make they mouth flap. When it come to bird, no, we spout facts. You gon' learn what I'm bout, bruh.
Even though the speeding limit's 65, I'm doing 75 without a seatbelt on. And I've been texting, driving reckless. I was 17 when I first tried to get us on the tennis team. We used to haze a lot of freshmen. Ladicky put a hoop up in the street without obtaining permission from the city. And every Christmas day I'm going to cinemas with single tickets to single flicks, but go to additional pictures. Sorry, but your boy is malicious. And back when I was 18, statutory raping this little hoe, even though we was dating. And if I'm taking public transportation on the quiet train, I might have a conversation. Fuck it, I'm the man, putting trash up in some other people's cans though. At the work fridge, stealing canned coke. And up at the holiday party, I'm grinding colleagues on the dance floor. Dick been rubbing against the asshole, say it's not. White crime.
Yeah, we bout that. Do a lot of dirt, never doubt that. Lot of rap twerps, let us shout crap. Let us make they mouth flap. When it come to bird, no, we spout facts. You gon' learn what I'm bout, bruh.